Hello, my name is Shani Tarragon. Welcome to Torah Teimacha, Nach Yomi with OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Kohelet, Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11. After all his elaborate attempts to find the key to consequential life have failed, after the last speech of the intellectual hedonist and the activist, the pragmatic Chacham, the wise man, Kohelet now returns to basic natural principles. Despite man's freedom to act as he wishes, and his very near control over the consequences of his actions, he cannot ensure his fundamental survival as an individual or as a species. After the last pasuk of Perek Yud, wherein the Yirei Elokim now is going to present the voice of consequences, recognizing that man doesn't have control over the consequences of his actions, even the ones performed in private, he now continues, Shlach lach machal pnei hamayim, ki berov hayamim tzimtzenu. Cast your bread, your grain, upon the waters, upon the irrigated fields, because eventually there will be consequences. You will eventually find grain. Life depends on farming, whose success hinges on factors man cannot control or even forecast. In fact, failing risks more than initially perceived. A failed harvest is more than just a lost profit, but also squanders grain that could have served as food. Despite these risks, man has no choice but to farm. If he does not risk the grain he has, then his supply will eventually be consumed and he will perish. Kohelet therefore advises man to throw his bread, his grain, into the irrigated fields in the hope that he will eventually recover more of it. Here we find that Kohelet, just like in the case of the wise man, incorporated a mashal. In the case of the Chacham, it was leaving a besieged city. In this case, he employs the mashal of farming, which is so indicative of man's cycles, of man's growing. We find in Sefer Devarim, Adam et hasadeh. And therefore, he says, look around at this world and realize that one must go ahead and plant, even if you don't know the consequences. Recognizing his inability to control or predict the harvest success, man must cautiously scatter his investments. Tein chelek l'shiva, you may as well plant 7 rows, even 8, as we know, beyond nature, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the evil of the earth. Only this way you can ensure against a fruitless field. Man must realize that failing rain and the trees that may fall, they're determined again by nature, by some forces beyond him, not by him. He, though, has to do the best that he can. He has to plant his actions accordingly. And planting, therefore, requires a leap of faith. The skeptic who delays his planting till he observes signs of wind and rain will not have enough time to plow and plant before they arrive. Im yimalu habim geshem ala aretz yariku, vim yipol eitz badarom vim batzafon, mekom sheyipol ha'eitz sham yehu. Man has no control when and where it's going to rain. Maybe the clouds will fill up with rain and then they'll empty themselves on the earth. Or maybe there will be a tree that will fall in the south or in the north. Maybe there will be a hurricane, but we don't know. And that's why man has to do the best he can, but at the same time recognize that there are factors beyond his control. Now, if he waits, if he thinks that he can predict, and just as we saw at the very beginning of Kohelet and Perek Aleph, that on one hand, it seems that there is a cycle to the wind. Now Kohelet portrays the same idea of wind, but in a much more complex fashion. The cycles actually cannot be forecasted. They cannot be pre-calculated. Someone who's waiting for that perfect rain, or waiting for that perfect wind to know when to plant, or that last rain to know when to harvest, he's always going to wonder, maybe it's tomorrow, and he'll never end up doing anything. Pasukei, kasher incha yodea maderer haruach katamim bebeten hamleya, kacha lo teidat maseh elokim asher yaseh takol. And here is his point over here. Just as we know, when Chazal refer to Seder Zraim, the first of the 6 sections of Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, the section that deals with mitzvot that govern planting and crops, they call it the Sefer of Emuna, of belief, because these are mitzvot that bid us to attribute the natural farming system as one completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is why Pasuk Hei compares man's lack of control over and his foresight of rain and wind to his similar limitations regarding all of Hashem's creations and actions. Kohelet alludes to childbirth in particular. He says, and you don't know the way of the wind, you can't predict it. The same way, Katsamim bebeten hamleyaz, the Parshanim explain, just as you don't know that bones are growing in the womb of a woman in the full stomach. Okay, this is pre-ultrasounds when everyone knew that there was something growing inside, but you couldn't tell what it was. So you know the winds are going to come. You know that there is a baby inside, but you don't know exactly how it's forming. So he alludes to childbirth in particular because although it seems to require nothing beyond the actions of two individuals, we know only too well that they don't control the outcome. There are three partners when it comes to childbirth. There's the mother, the father, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too in planting, and so too this is a mashal for everything in life. Just as parents can't be sure that they will be successful in the creation of the child, they don't even know what kind of child is being created, so too, Chazal highlight Hashem's pivotal role in childbirth, not only as the secret partner, the key to life, holding the key that is exclusively HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, because when the baby is first formed, it's Hashem who determines its full and future character. So even after nature completes its course with the birth of a child, who by then is nurtured by parents, Kohelet continues and says, it's not just that you don't know what's going on with the rain and the wind, just as you don't know what's going on in the stomach, you don't know any of Ma'aseh Elokim, so that even when the child is born, man recognizes his limits in determining his child's destiny. And that's why that should encourage him to invest in children as he does with fields. Take a look at Pasuk Vav, Baboker Zrata Recha Vela Erev Al Tanach Yadecha. What should a farmer then do with his field, not knowing what the outcome of all his investments in fact will be? He shouldn't give up. In the morning he should plant, he should sow his seeds, and in the evening he should continue to do that. Because you don't know which plant is going to be successful. Hazeh ozeh, the one you did in the morning, the one you did in the evening. And maybe, you never know, what did you lose if they both come out great? Rabbi Yeshua explains that same with having children. Have children when you're young. Keep having children, the mitzvah of Shevet. And therefore, especially when mortality rates were so high, in you don't know, you may as well have a boy and a girl, fulfill the mitzvah of Piri of Arivia earlier in your life. Try again, keep on trying, because you don't know which ones are going to be successful. And maybe, with the help of Hashem, v'im shnehem ke'achat tovim. This is what man should do in life, in every aspect of life, in farming, in work. He has to do the best he can, recognizing that there are going to be factors that are determined beyond him, factors that are determined clearly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we see then from all these psukim, because man cannot fully determine or even predict the outcome of his actions, he should focus on maximizing his efforts, planting fields during the day and planting children at day and at night. Man needs to learn his limitations from these cycles that sustain him. His life depends on his ability to act even when he's unable to fully control or even understand. Despite our inability to fully conceive the significance of living by God's standards, proven conclusively in the first 10 prakim, we should be able to do so anyway. When plotting his life's course, man should consider even things he cannot prove conclusively. We now continue with the second half of Perek Yud Aleph, wherein Kohelet applies this norm to the pursuit of pleasure. Clearly, the world offers many pleasures man is meant to relish. Pasuk Zayin, Umatoka Or Betov Leinaim Lerota Tashemesh. And therefore, based on the first few psukim, he says it's good to see the sun. It's good to understand the world, as the Chacham, as we know, was already described as someone who sees the sun, who understands. Yes, he says, you should learn, you should study. And similarly, you should also enjoy the sun. The sun setting at night, though, could be a little bit of a frustration, just as we saw in the fifth pasuk in Perek Aleph. That man is frustrated when the sun sets. Yes, there is death, but you may as well maximize when the sun is still here. The fact that the sun is eventually going to set, the fact that we're going to die, should not keep one from enjoying its light whenever possible. The cyclical setting, though, keeps one from relying exclusively on the sunlight. Man needs to remember that he, like the sun, sets. Cognizance of dark days that inevitably follow youth should keep one from being deceived by light-hearted youth. You may as well enjoy then, as long as the sun is still shining. But just remember, that one day there will be dark days, the sun will set. There will be many, many days, but then it's ephemeral. One has to realize that their life is short-lived. Although man ought to actualize his heart's desires during his youth, he should bear in mind that there will be an eventual reckoning. His intentions will be scrutinized to determine whether his life's mission included anything beyond the pursuit of pleasure or wisdom. Smach b'chor b'yaltutecha, v'yitzivcha libcha b'mei b'chorotecha. You may as well rejoice when you're young. V'halech b'darchei libcha uv'mare inacha. Vida ki al kol ele yeviacha elokim b'mishpat. Rejoice in your youth and walk and pursue what you want, but know that there are going to be consequences, that God will bring you into judgment. Recognition of ultimate divine reckoning acknowledges the actuality of circumstances beyond humans' perception. Man should not be seduced by fleeting youth. V'haser kas milibecha v'avera amibsarecha. Remove the frustration, just recognize ki hayaldut v'hashacharut havel, that your youth and literally the shacharut, the early morning, which maybe is called black here, possibly a reference to the color of a young person's hair, as we find both the Targum and Rashi explain. So man should, on one hand, not be seduced by his fleeting youth, the blackness of his hair, into haughtiness that reflects itself in anger and evil behavior. Instead, he should recognize the type of behavior which blackens man, which blackens his reputation and his character. He should work while he's young on perfecting his character. With this, we'll continue with the thesis of the Yirat Elokim, of the Yirei Elokim, and what Yirat Elokim is meant to help to provide for man a meaning in this world, as we continue with our last chapter. Thank you for studying together. Li'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef, Zechrona Lebracha.